Vasilagani, my marim are very unusual. They're unusual in the sense that most of the marim from the Rebbe have a beginning, have a middle and end, and oftentimes they're a recapitulation of my marim of the earlier Rebbeim with many added nuances and broadened themes. But the Vasilagani, my marim, the Rebbe really focused on one chapter of the original Vasilagani Maimer, and many of the my marim are not... they're not like beginning, middle, ends in that sense. They're like he'll take a piece of what the Friedrich Rebbe said and then explain it, and then the next piece of the Maimer and then explain it. And this version of Vasilagani, the Maimer of Vasilagani we're learning now from 1960, certainly is very much like that. And only having four segments to cover this Maimer is virtually impossible, at least in this setting. It wouldn't be meaningful to anybody. So the first three portions we kind of did continuously, but in order, since this is the last session, we're going to be studying Vasilagani together. So I isolated one chapter of it, one subchapter, and that's what we'll learn this morning. And it covers many interesting topics. I think it's a bit of a standalone. It could be a standalone. So anyway, that's what we're doing today. And your photocopies is page Chav Gimel. If you look at the top where it says Pei Chav Gimel, and we're going to be studying the chapter or the paragraph that begins with the words V'tzarech Lahavin. So let me give you some more background. In this particular Maimer, the Rebbe is elucidating the 10th chapter of the Vasilagani Hemshech, the Vasilagani Continuum. And over there, the Friedrich Rebbe, amongst other things, touches on the notion that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they were called the army of God. The army of God left the land of Egypt. And the obvious question is, why do we use this unusual expression? Why are the Jewish people called an army? You know, armies have all kinds of negative connotations attached to them. There are various reasons why we wouldn't use the word tzivos. It's a name of Hashem, but it's a name of Hashem that's not really in use until much, much later. So it doesn't seem to be one of the loftier names of God. And the Rebbe elaborates and explains why it's even a question. And then in the Friedrich Rebbe's Maimer, he says that the word tzivos has three connotations. It has a connotation of an orderly march, like an army. It has a connotation of colors, of a banner of colors, of colors that meld and mix and create a synergy. And the third thing, and these are all based on scriptural references, that the word tzava represents the notion of measured, and specifically measured days. So the Rebbe explains each of these things. He talks about the military formation element of tzivos havaya. He talks about the idea, and he adds to it and elaborates it. And then he explains the idea of tzivos, meaning many colors, and he elaborates and develops that idea. And here in this paragraph, he addresses the third interpretation, the third meaning of the word tzivos. The notion of tzava, halei tzava la'adam, that Hashem gives every person a specific amount of time. And there's this idea, he says in the Maimer, that tzava means hagbala, it means limitation, a segmented or bracketed portion of time. And he says that this is al derech, this is along the lines of a verse which is found in the book of Psalms in chapter 139, that there it says, Yamim Yutzaru, he formed days, God forms days, Veloi Echad, and in those days there should be the oneness of Hashem that resonates. So Tzava La'enesh Alei Aretz means Hashem has given each human being a bracketed amount of time, of a certain segment of time to live. And that means, that is to say, that each human being, from the very beginning in the program, is given so many and so many years, and some of that can't be changed, some of it can be lengthened, some of it can't be changed. We're given a certain amount of years to live. And when a person utilizes his days fully, and he completes the mission of his kafia and his hapcha, of crushing the Yetzirah, restraining the Yetzirah, and actually harnessing the negativity in the world for a positive purpose, so then he's included in the army of God. That's the battle. The battle is to utilize the days and the time that God gives us. This is more of an introduction. That's what the Friedrich Rebbe kind of says in the Maimer. So the Rebbe here in this paragraph elucidates. V'tzarech lahavet. This has to be understood. Mahu ha'inyan the yomim yutzaru. Why do we emphasize days have been formed? In other words, she'tzarech li'es ha'yislapshos b'hayomim dafke. That we have to emphasize that each day was utilized appropriately. So what happens if somebody lived life well? It wasn't every single day. Anyway, who lives every day perfectly? Who doesn't leave a couple of days at the wayside? A person lived life well. He did mitzvahs. And let's say a person one day was lazy and didn't do what they're supposed to do. So they really pushed themselves the next day. And they did twice as much. And you're going to say, well, you know, if you could have done twice as much, you should do twice as much every day. But that's not true. It's not humanly possible for a person to do twice as much every day. You can only do that in a limited way. And what motivated him to do it was because he failed the day before. So he pushed himself really hard to do that next day. It doesn't work. No good. He missed yesterday. Yesterday wasn't the way it should be. But today is twice as good. Done? It's worthless? It seems to say here that the emphasis here is on Yomim Yitzaru. And we reference the idea of Avram Avinu, who had perfect days, and he came in all his days. And the Rebbe says, like, really, why is there such an obsession with days? So one day wasn't exactly, so he had a better day the next day. In other words, what we speak about days, we speak about Chaim Levushi HaTeira Mitzvahs. These are the garments, which mitzvahs are like a garment, right? A garment is something you put on and take off. The mitzvah isn't you, the mitzvah is something you're doing. You choose to do it, or Chas V'Shalom choose not to. So the Levushi HaTeira Mitzvahs, Shalemid V'Isa B'chol Yeim, that he does every single day, which is obviously very important. Don't we have this global perspective? Don't we have this bigger picture? In the big picture, it's not just about us as individuals, but it's about a world that has to be fixed. And if it's about a world that has to be fixed, why emphasize the foibles or failings of a person in a day when the bigger picture is, did this person make a meaningful contribution? Did they make a real impact in the world? Yeah, they didn't have every day perfect. So, I understood we should utilize all of our time and all of our wherewithal and every ounce of energy, and everything is a gift and we shouldn't waste it. Understood. So all those things are understood. But if a person really made an impact in this world, and maybe all the days weren't right. So we know there's this time and space, and then there's soul. So this is a soul who made a huge imprint, a huge footprint in space, in the Dira B'Tachtonim, in this world. He made this world a very godly place. But he didn't utilize all of his time right. Why does that have to be an issue? After all, if we say that the purpose that we were sent to planet Earth, the reason we have a terrestrial reality, is not because God wants us to go to heaven, so he put us on a giant obstacle course and said, knock yourself out. And if you win, then you get the prize. Then you get your heavenly reward. If you don't, well, then you miss your heavenly reward. So then we'd say, okay, it doesn't matter. The world is irrelevant. What happens in the obstacle course doesn't matter. It matters about me. So I have to, you know, get all my points. If I'm missing points, I'm not going to get the ticket. I'm not going to get the key. But we say that's not the case. Chassidus comes along and places tremendous emphasis, especially in these Maimarim, that it's Basi Lagani, Achaisi Kala, it's Lagani. It's the garden. It's the world that has to be changed. It's the Dira B'Tachtonim. So if the emphasis is on the world that has to be changed, if the emphasis is on the Dira B'Tachtonim, okay, so obviously you should use your days. It's self-understood that in order to make the full impact, you have to use time. But the emphasis isn't on the time. The emphasis is on the job that has to get done. If a person were to receive a job to do, they have to get this job by a certain due date to get the job done. Fine, so they have to do. What's the wise way to do the job? It's a very big job. It's going to take 12-hour days. So if you're smart, you make 12-hour days. What happens if the due date's tomorrow and you didn't put in all 12-hour days? You're going to work like 60. You'll be up for 2 days. You have a due date. You have to get it done. So what's wrong if that happens that way? Like, what's so terrible? You know, my grandmother, Allah Shalom, so when her family was forced out of the collective farm, they were starving because my great-grandfather wouldn't work on Shabbos. So the Russians, the communists, set it up in a way that if you didn't work every single day, you didn't have enough food because you got exactly enough food to survive. You didn't work a day, you didn't get food. So they were literally starving to death. The malnutrition was slowly eating away at them and they were like skeletons. So finally, My grandmother's older brothers figured out that they can move to a place called Kharkov, which is a town nearby. And there they could have, you do some work for the government. I think they were darning socks and putting little pieces of jewelry together. And you had to do a certain amount. So the whole family worked, and they worked like days and nights. And in this way, they got done in 6 days the work that usually takes 7 days to hatch. And the main thing, the communists didn't care as long as you reported at a certain day and you brought the material. So they had the material, they brought the material, they got food. And this was like a respite. They were able to keep Shabbos. So that's it. They left to collect the farm. Nobody was watching what they did. You do it in your time. Well, so let's say the same kind of thing. You do it in your time, as long as you get the job done. Who cares really how you did it? Okay, so for me, it works better to take one day and have a staycation, and the next day work like a maniac or not eat and sleep. Fine. Does that not work? What if a yid will say, you know what, I'm going to do best like this. One day, I'll just do the bare minimum. The next day, I work like crazy. No eating, no sleeping. I'll sleep 2 hours. The next day, I need a vacation again. They say, no, that's Yom of Yitzharu. You have to fill your days. Why? I got the job done. Lama Dafka Baba Yamim. Why is this emphasis on Avram Avinu? So great. What's so great about him? Because he came with his days. Va'ad, so much so, Shim Chasar Yem Echada. If one day is missing, we say, oh, a day missing. Chasar Levush Echada. There's a garment missing. That's Zawin Yin Yom Yitzharu. That's the business of days have been formed. That's how you can reach the point of the loy, because the loy can be spelled with an aleph or with a vav. The word loy is aleph or vav. Loy means not, and loy without vav means to him. And we'll soon see what that means. But this is a very lofty level. To reach a loy with an aleph is a big deal, and the only way you can get there is by utilizing all of your days. So this, the Rebbe says, this doesn't seem to make sense. The Rebbe once spoke about this in a different mimer that he delivered shortly after his heart attack in 1977. And there he spoke about the notion that we're not talking about missing an actual mitzvah. We're not talking about missing the recitation of Shema. We're not talking about missing putting on tefillin, missing davening. We're not talking about that, because that's obvious. That's a disruption or a loss of, you only have so many and so many times in a lifetime where you could do a particular mitzvah. So if it's tefillin, you can only put on tefillin so many times. Then the Shabbat, then Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, and a certain amount of days you have. So you can only do it so many times. You can only light Shabbat candles so many and so many Friday nights. This is the Friday nights you're going to have. You miss a Friday night, you can't make that up. So the Rebbe said, huh?
Except for Tzedakah.
Except for Tzedakah. What do you mean?
You can do that as many times as you want.
True. But that's not a finite obligation. These mitzvahs are finite obligations. So we're not talking about a finite obligation, because a finite obligation lost is actually bittul mitzvahs asay, and violating or abrogating a mitzvah asay is considered to be a sin. And in Geres HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe says it's the kind of sin that it's even harder to atone for than an actual violation of Hashem's will. So the Rebbe said, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about missing an actual official mitzvah. The person didn't utilize all of his time. He could have utilized time better, didn't utilize all of his time. All right, okay, so, like, why make such an issue? Umevayer etzemach tzedek. So in the Maamarim of Basi Ligani, what the Rebbe does almost always is, he quotes all of the Rebbeim in the Basi Ligani Maamarim, goes through from the Baal Shem Tov all the way to the subsequent Rebbeim, the Magid, the Baal Shem Tov, the Magid, the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe Marash, the Rebbe Rashab, and the whole thing is about the Friedrich Ebers Maamar. And oftentimes it would be in order. Not always, but oftentimes it would be in order. And the interesting thing is that the Rebbe would take like pieces or segments of the Maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe. He would take an idea and say, okay, how does this work out? And then he'll say, this we can understand based on the virtue of something one of the other Rebbeim said about a different subject. And Rebbe would utilize that as a frame, that as a way to be able to explain this particular statement of the Friedrich Rebbe. And then he'll come to the next part of the Maimer and say, this we can understand by virtue of the way it's illuminated elsewhere. And this way, he created this homogeneous commentary on that that chapter of the Maimer. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains in his commentary on Tehillim, which is known as Yaheloi, and the Tzemach Tzedek actually is commenting on this very pasuk in Psalm 139. And he says, because the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs is performed by the neshama, but it's not just performed by the neshama. The neshama alone cannot do Torah mitzvahs. It's the neshama, k'moshehi melubeshes beguf. It's the neshama, the way it is embodied in a corporeal reality. It requires embodiment, literally to be dressed in a meat suit. L'chein, shayech sheyia bezet haruvis in yonim elu, k'elu shebeglolim yitztarchu lirchitz. So because the neshama, which is pure, is stuck in a body which is not pure, so what happens is the mitzvahs have toxins that are attached to it. It has negativity. It gets soiled. The mitzvahs themselves get soiled because the mitzvahs are being performed by a dirty individual. So we don't have the purest of intentions when we do mitzvahs. Maybe we're trying to impress somebody. Maybe we're trying to satisfy our own needs, which are not necessarily the needs of God, the needs of the mitzvah. We all have, you know, axes to grind, chips on our shoulder. We could all have secondary intentions. We could even have the wrong intentions. And then, of course, the question comes, if somebody does the right thing with the wrong intentions, is it still a good thing to do? That's a very good question. And it's discussed, the Talmud discusses it. The Gemara says it's mutav, it's better to do something shalei lishma, because mitach shalei lishma, ba lishma. Out of doing something for the wrong reason, you come to do it for the right reason, which the Hasidic interpretation that the Rebbe would often say is, mitach shalei lishma means in the inside, at the core essence of the shalei lishma, a person may not even know it. He thinks he's doing it for the wrong reasons. He thinks he's doing it for selfish desires or is motivated by something inappropriate. But really, deep down, it's lishma. He just doesn't even know about it. Okay, fine. But the reality is, certainly as part of the motivation, there's a negativity attached to it. There's a motivation, and the motivation is not serving Hashem. It's not doing the right thing, at least not in the purest of ways. So because of this, the mitzvahs, well, they come out a little soiled. They're not perfect mitzvahs. They're not perfect deeds. So what do we need to do now? So besides doing the mitzvahs, yitztarchu lirchitz ulezachichas alavushim. You sewed the clothes, and that's great, but they're a little dirty now because the sweatshop is a dirty place. So now you need to cleanse the clothes, need to launder them. So we have clothes. The garment is done, it's not clean. Can't be used the way it is. It needs to be laundered. Valderech ha-mavur, this is along the lines, the Rebbe is saying this, Belshein Chazal, which explained about the expression of our sages, Maisim Tovim. It says Maisim Tovim, good deeds. So what else are we talking about? Maisim Royim? So a person comes to this world, do good deeds. Do Maisim, of course. What's Maisim Tovim? Elsewhere it says, Yiv Maisim Tovim, Umi'idim, good deeds which are illuminated. He says, you know, ma'isel b'vad eni maspik. A person did the mitzvah. You need to do a good mitzvah. What's a good mitzvah? Isn't a mitzvah always good? So, well, maybe not. So you do a mitzvah. You're doing the right thing, but it's not done in a good fashion. You did the mitzvah for the wrong reason. So shetzarech li is ideally you have to have actions, mitzvahs, that they should be sheyiyu tevim. They should be good mitzvahs. And the difference in a good mitzvah and a not good, I don't say quote a bad mitzvah, but a mitzvah, and a mitzvah that's not good, it's a mitzvah it's adulterated. It has other things mixed into it. All right, so now having established this notion, this principle, that the mitzvahs could sometimes be deficient because they're soiled, because there's inappropriateness attached to them, the mitzvah's there, but it's not done for the perfect reasons. So the question is, how do you launder it? And it's a very good question. It would be a very important question if we're taking this serious, and I think we should. So how do you launder it? So the Rebbe says, "V'hinei rechitzas ma'aseh ha'adam," the cleansing of a person's deeds, na'asis al yedei avedas hatfila. Prayer is a cleanser. Ki yedua, like it's known, sha'alias kol inyani ha'teira mitzvahs, that the elevation, if you will, of all teira mitzvahs. First of all, when you do a mitzvah, you're trying to elevate something. You're trying to take something which is previously in the scrimmage of the ordinary, the mundane, you're trying to uplift it, to make it something which is part of holiness now. So for example, a simple metaphor, you take food. The food is food. The food can feed a mugger. It can feed a druggie. It can feed anybody. The food isn't bad or good. The food can be used for all kinds of purposes. Somebody can eat the food and do a terrible thing with it. And you take the food and you eat it with a holy purpose, with a holy intention. And then you do beautiful things with it. You spend out time, the energy you got from the food, doing good things. So what happens to the food? You elevate the food. You take that piece of leather that could have ended up being a whip to harm somebody, and you used it to make a pair of tefillin. You uplifted the crass material nature of this particular object has now been uplifted in the most exalted way, become a holy object. It's an amazing thing. You took wool that, who knows, it could have been anything, and instead it became a talit or tzitzit and so on and so forth. So the point is that mitzvahs have this marvelous elevating nature to them. They elevate things. That's the nature of mitzvahs. We use the material to elevate. I told you once a story that there was a famous chassid of the Alter Rebbe, and he had a verbrengen in his house. And the verbrengen was kind of petering out because there wasn't anything left to eat. And it was a large crowd, and it was a beautiful verbrengen. And he had no choice to himself. He thought to himself, what am I going to do? I gotta keep the verbrengen going. In those days, meat didn't come on a shelf in plastic. Meat was in the backyard. So they had a goat. That's what they had. They had a goat. He decided he's going to slaughter the goat. Was one of the locals, it was a sheikhet, and one of the fellows was a butcher, a katzev. So he said, you know what, Chevra, here's a goat. Turned the goat when it was a caterer. Before you knew it, the goat was slaughtered, dismembered, barbecued, and the verbrengen went all night. And it was beautiful verbrengen, and everybody was very inspired. In the morning, trying to remember who this chassid was. Come to me in a minute. His wife woke him up in the morning and said, he was from Shmuel Betzal maybe. She said, the goat is missing. Somebody stole our goat. He said, no. Nobody stole the goat. Yesterday the goat was saying, meh. And today the goat will say, Shema Yisrael. That's the nature of a mitzvah. We take ordinary things, we uplift it. So there's this nature of uplifting, but there's the Rebbe adds in the brackets, there's also aham shacha shenim shacham al yadam. When you do a mitzvah, you also bring godliness into this world. So how does that all happen? How does the mitzvah reach its fruition? How do we take the mitzvah and guide it, direct it, energize it? What do you do? What about our daily avodah takes what we did and elevates it, puts it into the next realm? The Rebbe says it's idea avodah tefillah. It happens through prayer. Because the nature of prayer is, as the Zohar describes it, that it's a sulam mutzav arza. It's a ladder that's rooted in the ground. But vereshay, its highest rungs, magia shemaima, they reach the very heavens. So avodas hatfila is something that represents that ladder. And we know in the metaphor, what is the ladder doing? It serves as a vehicle for angels that are going up and angels that are coming down. And the angels going up and angels going down represent the aliyah, uplifting of this world, and the angels coming down represent the hamshacha. The Rebbe says, hamshacha means drawing down, actualization. V'avedas hatfila, and the aveda of prayer, hu inyan avedas hayoyim. Prayer is a daily thing. Prayer is not a thing you do when you get inspired. Observant Jew davens every day. Not only every day, yoyim, every day, v'alayla, and every night. Sha'arei tefila is keneged tamid in tiknum. After all, the Gemara says, tefillah, the concept of prayer, was established or buttressed so that it might take the place and be in lieu of the offerings. That doesn't mean that there wasn't prayer before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There was. But the prayer became so much more meaningful. Now it became instead of. It used to be that we had other things, but that we don't have those things anymore because we don't have the Aveda of Karbanos. The prayer was elevated to fill that void, that need. And if that's what the void that prayer is filling, it's not just filling occasional offerings, possible offerings. It's tamidim, it's daily offerings. Sho'inyan tamid shel shachar. The offerings came in the form of a morning offering, and tamid shel bein arbayim, an evening offering. Ukemavur, b'lukot ha'teira, like explains in l'kot ha'teira, on the interpretation of the word, the words, the pasuk. V'yadayta hayoyim, you should know today. You should take to heart that the transcendent energy of divinity, miraculous, the source of miracles and miraculous energy, is the very same as nature. They're not disparate. There's not two gods, chas v'shalom. The God of nature and the God of miracles is one and the same. There aren't two gods duking it out. It's all the same. God chooses to reveal to himself to us in a transcendent way sometimes, and sometimes in a concealed, in a limited, in a camouflage way. So there's this idea then we should take to heart, because it's not apparent, it's not obvious. Says the Rebbe says, the inyan v'hashivoso el levavecho, how is something brought or settled, implanted in the heart? How do you do it? How do you plant something in your heart? How does it become, instead of just an idea, how does it become part of your emotional structure?
Get it to stay there.
How do you get it to stay in your heart? The answer is that's tefillah. That's tefillah. Hu avedas ha-tefillah. So if a person just learns chassidus, but he doesn't daven with the chassidus he learns, it doesn't go anywhere. K'may merazal, like our sages taught us, ezehu aveda shehi belev, which aveda, which service that a yid does is the one of the heart. Havi oimer zu tefillah, this is prayer. Right? And prayer is called a labor of love. So it turns out that the labor of love, it comes from the heart. What the heart means, love. There's no hate, chas v'shalom, in the heart. I mean, it could be, but not towards God. So when you're working with your heart, it means you're working with love. You're trying to love Hashem more. And when you're working with the heart, so then this becomes the way that you launder the garments. A passionately, lovingly expressed prayer session elevates mitzvahs, which maybe weren't done in such a perfect way. But how do you pray right? First is via daita. First you have to know. First you learn chassidus. And then you know, cerebrally, intellectually. And then you internalize that idea through the notion of prayer. Pirish via daita hayoyim. The Rebbe interprets now, going back to the idea of hayoyim. Hayoyim is kemoisha hayoyim hu yoyimim laila. We're talking about day and night. We're talking about a 24-hour period, the full range of time. V'shneim echad, together as one. K'mishra Kosov, like it says in the narrative of Genesis, Vayehi erev, Vayehi beker, Yeim echad. It was evening, followed by morning. That was a day. That was one day. So kach, so tu, Chassidus explains, V'hashivei se'elevav echa. Just like the V'adaita has to be hayoim, meaning day and night, the taking to heart also has to be in the same fashion. Shekameshu bizman, the same way it's in time. The time is comprised of day and night. Kachu benefesh, the same thing is also true in the soul, that there is dark energy and illuminating energy. Shabez levavois, we know it says levavecha, which indicates a plurality in the heart. Shabez levavois, shehim ayetzer tev v'ayetzer hara. They represent the good inclination, the desire to live selflessly and do mitzvahs, and it also represents the Yetzer Hara, which is the inclination and desire to live selfishly and to do as you please at any cost to others, being totally insensitive and obsessed with your own self-aggrandizement and sensual libido and fulfillment of your own crass desires. So that's the idea of Yoyim V'Laila B'Nefesh Adam. We have a night and we have a day. Night is the ugly side. Night is the dark side. And everybody has a dark side. Day is the bright side. Everybody has a bright side too. But you cannot serve Hashem just with your bright side. You have to serve Hashem with your dark side and your bright side. Shneim Ke'echad. Both have to be brought together as one. Shagama Yetzer Hara Yashav La'Avedas Havaya. The real goal is that the Yetzer Hara should also become a servant of Hashem. You're not just serving Hashem with your positive energy. And how would you serve Hashem with positive energy? Avoida means an eved, it means labor, it means toil. It means if a person loves to give tzedakah, they give tzedakah more than they love to give tzedakah. If a person loves to perform mitzvahs, they do the mitzvahs with greater fervor, with greater devotion, to the point that maybe this wasn't what I had in mind. This I don't love so much already. So I do. So it's a labor, but it's still a labor. I'm working with my bright side. These are still things I like to do. There's still things which are maybe selfless, in the realm of the selfless. And then we have the selfish. And then we have the, you know, the ugly underbelly of the which is the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara says, I want to serve God. I want to serve nobody. I serve myself. I am the beginning, the middle, the end. It's all about me. I say, no, that's not going to work. And Avodas Hashem, we can't just ignore that side. We have to deal with that side. That the Yetzer Hara should also be brought into serving Hashem. And when you do that, when you serve Hashem b'shnei yitzarecha, with both of your inclinations, then you bring about the true oneness of God. In other words, There's an element of divinity which is miraculous. It's, wow, that's God. There's an element of divinity which animates the world, which people say, that's nature. That's God. Nah, it's not God. It's nature. Sun goes up, sun goes down. It's nature. It's biology. That's quantum physics. It's not God. And we're saying, no. The miracle element, like you said, wow, that's God, the God particle. That miracle element, that's all. And you recognize that they're one and the same. How does one do this in their own self? How do you superimpose that grand idea in a microcosmic way? The answer is, when I don't just serve God with my bright side, with my miraculous side, if you will, but I serve God with my dark side, my selfish side, my natural side.
So in tefillah, how do you serve God with your is natural or dark?
I mean, you're supposed to serve God with both. So when a person expresses himself to Hashem in a passionate way, and you put yourself into prayer, at some point the fire gets big enough, it catches, the whole log catches fire. You can get into prayer. And prayer could be a beautiful experience. And it's supposed to be a beautiful experience, but it's not easy to get there. It's a very difficult thing to accomplish.
So do you do it on your own privately? Because it's very difficult in a minyan.
It's an excellent question. There's a maimer I once learned. The Rebbe says that prayer is a paradox. On one hand, it's so difficult and we're asking for inner transformation. And on the other hand, you're doing it with a minyan. How could everybody do it together? It's a paradox. So really, Chabad Hasidim didn't use to daven so much with a minyan. They would start with a minyan, but the real Chassidish Yidden would have a little room on the side and they would go and pray for hours afterwards. Wouldn't a perfect day at prayer wasn't the day that you started and finished with the minyan. And if you couldn't do it every day, at least Shabbos. The Rebbe once said that about Balabatim, people who don't have time to pray on the weekday, they should daven even more on Shabbos. Why? He said the other people, at least they elevate their mitzvahs on a daily basis. Here's a person who's got a whole week of mitzvahs to elevate. He for sure has to daven long.
So what about when you're with the minyan, but you're at a different point of prayer?
Well, here's the important thing to know. You need to start with everybody. Starting a half hour late does not mean davening b'aveda. You start together with everybody at the same time, and if you get involved in your prayer and swept up in prayer, that's a good thing. It's an appropriate thing. So this is the idea of tefillah, and it's a big deal. You know, I mentioned this many times, that the Alter Rebbe, how did he come to Chassidus? I mean, his father was a chassid, but he didn't guide him, didn't push him. It was a choice he had to make. And Alter Rebbe was a young man, he was already married, he was an extraordinary genius, and he said, I heard in Mizritch you learn how to daven. That was the Maggid. In Vilna, by the Vilna Gaon, you learn how to learn. The Alter Rebbe said, learn in Konach Shana Bisla. I know how to learn a little bit already. Davening, he said? I haven't a fog, he said, they had a daven. So that's why he went to Mizritch. And he didn't like it when he first came there. He wasn't impressed in the beginning. And he was actually about to leave, and there's a story in and of that as well. The point is, the davening is a very big deal, especially davening right. And davening right will necessarily bring the Yetzirah along. V'zeu klal sinyan avedas ha-tefillah. This is what tefillah is about. And my dear friends, the nature of tefillah is daily. Nobody will tell you, you don't want to daven today? Don't daven today. Daven next week, it's okay. No, you can't say that. The davening is a daily thing. So that's the Yomim Yitzaru. That's the days that are formed. And what's the purpose? Remember the question was, why do you need this daily emphasis? So don't do it every day. The main thing is to impact the world. And the Rebbe is explaining here that in order that your mitzvahs will be clean, only your mitzvahs will be appropriate, only your mitzvahs will be all they can be, they have to be laundered on a daily basis. What launders them? The labor of love, the prayer, the yin of tefillah. So this is the idea of prayer, lirchetz, v'lichab lichbeis, es levushi ha-teirah mitzvahs, to launder and cleanse the levushim, the garments which are called teirah mitzvahs. V'al yedei zepeya liyeis v'loy echad behem. And when you do that, you can, during the course of your lifetime, not only be effective in doing what you were supposed to do, that's the veloy echa with a vav, but it becomes veloy with a aleph. What's so good about that? What's no? No is no good. Should be yes. Lahamshech b'b'chinas loy ba'alef, which is the ksiv, that's the way it's written. It's written veloy with a aleph, but it's read with a vav. But the idea is, shehula maila meyishtalshlus. When a person could say, reading or listening to something very profound, I'm in the dark. I'm in the dark. I don't, I don't get it. It's beyond me. It's not, when he's saying I'm in the dark, he's not saying this is a bunch of gibberish or it's foolish stuff. He's saying, it's beyond me. So with the level of divinity, which is called dark, not because it's bad, chas v'shalom, we're in the dark. It's beyond what we could get to.
It's not a free choice at that point.
It's not a free choice, yeah. It's probably not a free choice. But there's an element of divinity, which is, it's not within our realm to connect to it. It's like trying to plumb the subconsciousness, and the psychologist will tell you, oh, we're in the dark here. We don't really know. We can't understand why this or that functions in a certain way. It's just the way it is, to the best of our knowledge. We don't really understand it. Because we don't understand it, we can't treat it, inhibit it. We can't really control it. It's beyond us. So there's a level of divinity which is like that. And just like subconsciousness is the deepest level of psyche, of persona, deepest level of you, the deepest level of divinity is beyond us. It's in the dark. We're in the dark. But when we daven on a daily basis, we actually can have v'loy echad behem. The no, meaning the dark, we can relate to that too. We can be brought into our world. We can connect to it. Sheyum shel be'echad, that it comes into the idea of echad, which is a representation of creation, with saturated with the presence or knowledge and awareness of God. That's the way it's read. Loy with a vav. What's vav? So vav is six, and that represents the vav midas al yoynes, that represents the six supernal attributes: chesed, gevura, teferes, netzach, chayin, and yesod, which is the field of endeavor of human activity, of human personality. Zehu pnimiyas habir. This is the inner explanation. Then. Now you understand why there has to be days. And that's what the Friedrich Rebbe is alluding to, says the Rebbe. When in his Maimer he talked about Tzava, and he said you have to use your days in order to be in the army of Hashem. His point was you have to use each and every single day, because that's the only way your mitzvahs can actually be clean. The only way your mitzvahs can actually be most efficacious. Kefishim avayra tzemach tzedek, like the Tzemach Tzedek explains, Shesheresh hayomim hagashmim, that the source of material days or time is from supernal days in time. Shehimidis al yoynes, that the 6 days of the week are rooted in the six midis, the six divine emotional and functional attributes. And that's why Sunday, people are always in a good mood, because it represents chesed. And that's when Hashem said yihi or, and or is light, and light is chesed, it spills forth freely. And Monday is gvura, and nobody's happy on Mondays. And Monday's day that God divided heaven and earth about division, v'ispalag. And then Tuesday's Tiferes, and it says Kitov twice, and Tuesday's usually a happier day for people. And this is how the way it is. It's the way it is human nature, because these things come, it's a reflection of the divine emotion. Shal yodam nimshcha, it doesn't mean Mondays people are unhappy. It's not about unhappy. It's more people are more disciplined, people are more focused. They're less freewheeling. It's more of an intense day. Shal yodam nimsheches hamshacha, it's through these six midas that the actualization takes place. Adlas fides al malchus, until the realm of malchus. The realm of malchus is taking responsibility, getting it done, and that's the aveda of actual Torah and mitzvahs. So here you have really one line of the Maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe, which wasn't inexplicable, but wasn't so well understood, especially as Rebbe pointed out that, well, like, why do we need to obsess over days? Now you understand why Tzivas Havaya is about Tzava La'odam. Hashem gave a special amount of time. This is the deeper meaning of utilizing time fully, is not only that you did the checklist of mitzvahs, things you had to do, but you took it a leap beyond.